Hello, hello, and welcome back to What's the Chinese Tea? I'm your host, Sammy Chimanga. Thank you for joining us for another episode. So by the time this episode hits, this would only be a month of me doing What's the Chinese Tea, and I'm already going to be at 100 listens. So, oh my gosh, yes, well, I really, really appreciate it. So that's really cool that in a month's time, I've had 100 listens. So you guys keep listening, keep supporting. I really, really appreciate you guys. It makes me so happy that you guys are enjoying this podcast. As much as I love doing this podcast, it's also just as rewarding that you guys are actually enjoying it. So again, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we're going to be at 100. Let's shoot for that 200 listens, guys. Let's keep downloading. Like I said, guys, I don't know what's going on with Apple. I know that's where you guys listen to a lot of your podcasts, is on Apple Podcasts. I promise the day that I can get Apple Podcasts, it's going to be an amazing feeling. But until then, please keep listening to us on Anchor, Google Play, Spotify, Breaker. We're going to try to get on SoundCloud, and we're trying to get also on Pandora. So a lot of people have options. So please, 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 please just keep listening. I really, really appreciate it. So today's episode, the one thing when I started this whole podcast journey is that I wanted to take real life experiences and share with you guys. You know, I'm coming to my 1 year anniversary here in China. And so I have encountered and seen and met a lot of different scenario situations that I was necessarily could be prepared for, but not prepared for. And so I want to make sure that the content you guys are getting are real life, real time stories, and as well as stories that you can learn from, that you do not make the same mistakes that we did, and or you do the same thing we did and, you know, make it better, or make it, you know, make it a lot easier for you to learn from. So that's definitely the motivation behind this podcast. So I try to take questions that you all have asked me about, or things that you want to know about. And so today's episode is just that. I've had a lot of questions on, is it easy to live in China without speaking Mandarin? That has been a question, like literally question that needs answers. And so today I'm going to address that very thing. And welcome back. I don't know what just happened here, but it just cut me off. But anyways, so we are going to address the language. Is it easy to live in China without speaking Mandarin? And the answer is no. I'm going to keep it real 100 with you. I saw a lot of blog posts where, oh, you can get away with not learning any Mandarin and live in China. Okay. First of all, if you live in a tier one city, so Shanghai, Beijing, Shenzhen, obviously there is going to be a lot of English speakers, because these are international hubs, right? And you have a lot of foreigners in these cities. So you are going to literally be using English. There's going to be a lot of main stores that speak English. And so in the event that you live there, absolutely, you could live in China and not speak a lick of Mandarin, right? But for everyone else, okay? For everyone else, tout le monde, okay? Yes, it's going to be very difficult to live here and not speak the language. Here is why. when you order stuff on Taobao, and you guys listen to my survival apps, which is like the highest listening episode, shout out. You guys know about the app Taobao. Taobao is Amazon, eBay, AliExpress, everything rolled into one. And so when you order on Taobao, literally everything is in Chinese, right? Literally the screen, the interface, everything is in Chinese. Now, they have some of the descriptions of what it is you're looking for. You can search it. So say if I'm looking for blue jeans, right? I could type in blue jeans. I could type it in English and I might get some English results, but then 90% will be back in Chinese. When you pay, you know, when you pay for your items, it's going to be in Chinese. Now, when you get the package, there's a service called Kuaidi. That's your Chinese word of the day, guys. Kuaidi, which is like the postman. He is literally going to call you on your cell phone that you provided on Taobao. He is going to be speaking to you in Chinese to be able to retrieve your package, right? And sometimes you can get away with not answering the phone. You can get away with telling him Ting Budong, which is I don't understand. And he will figure it out. He will send you a code. But they will call you and they will speak to you in Chinese. If you don't understand Chinese or can't speak Chinese, it becomes very difficult to sometimes locate your package if necessary. If they send you a code, then you obviously know where to go get your package from. So with that, you have to take a taxi. You're going to have to take taxis. You're going to have to converse with the cab driver. Cab driver in Chinese is Shifu, another word of the day. You're going to have to tell him where you're going. Where are you going? So you need to know some basic Mandarin phrases. Tunali, where are you going? And even if you know little, like I don't know how to say airport, but I know how to say plane, right? So if I say Feiji, he's going to know, okay, plane, he's going to know airport, right? There are certain areas in town where I could say certain things and he will get it. You know, where I live is Xinzhou Haiyuan. So they know, okay, we know who to go there. My school is called Moshi. So if I say Moshi, they're going to know right there. Lisen Lu is another street right by my school. They know. So I'm telling you, as much as it's like you could probably get away with it in other cities, but in the city where I am, where it's very Chinese and like literally the English speaking population is probably less than like 20%. And it's very difficult to maneuver, to move around and not speak Mandarin. Now, I'm not saying you have to be out here being hella fluent, but you have to know your basic words. I feel like this, if you go to any country, I feel like I have my list of words that I think you should be able to say. You should be able to say, hello, how are you? Thank you. Where's the bathroom? That's like those are my top four, you know, where is this? Airport, taxi, bus, subway, metro, whatever, you know, you should be able to, I want to eat. You should be able to say these words. So if you go to, it's no different if you go to France and you don't speak a lick of French, but you're going to go there expecting people to speak English. It does not work that way. And it's one thing when you're visiting, you can just kind of like bullshit your way through it and then just go about your day. But because you're going to be living here, it's just going to make things a lot easier when you speak the language or you have some very basic knowledge of the language. I understand Mandarin can be very difficult because Mandarin is a tonal language. Mandarin has, if I'm correct, has four tones, and each tone signifies something different. If you say something in first tone, it means one thing, versus if you say it in fourth tone, you can say the same word in four tones, but it's going to mean four different things. So if you want something in first tone, but you said it in fourth tone, but guess what? They're going to take that definition of the fourth tone. But obviously, some people would get the context of what it is you are saying, and they will probably be able to decipher it. But I have found it very much easier to maneuver in the city, knowing the little Chinese that I know. Because if you go to the grocery store, they're going to tell you the total in Chinese. Now, you might get lucky and you might be able to see it on the computer and you'll just be able to do the math yourself. Sometimes it's not that way. Like if you go to like the little stores, like the little, like I was telling you last episode about the convenience stores we frequent. It so happens that the convenience stores we frequent, the ladies of the store actually speak a little bit of English so they can tell us the totals in English. But if they are not there, it's usually the husbands that run the store and they don't speak the greatest of English either. So I have to know my numbers. So if they're telling me Arshi Kwai, I need to know what Arshi means. You know, granted, we could do symbols and things like that, but Arshi Kwai, you know, 20 Kwai. So I, like I said, you might be able to maybe pass and graze right through it, but I just think for your well-being and for your sanity, it's a lot easier to learn the language. Invest time into learning the language because it's going to save you a lot of drama and you're not going to have to be so reliant on, you know, most of us here that are foreigners, most of us are English teachers. We don't want to have to rely on our co-teachers to help us maneuver through Taobao or maneuver at the bank or maneuver, you know, ordering food and or Kwai D or, you know, whatever. You want to be able to be self-sufficient. So a part of being self-sufficient in this country is knowing the language. And so I say that to say, if you live anywhere and you're going to be living there longer than 1 year, you should learn the language. Why not? But in the next segment of this episode, I will tell you how I've learned some Mandarin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the episode, What's the Chinese Tea? Okay, so we are back. In the first segment of this episode, we talked about, is it easy to be able to maneuver within China without having to speak Mandarin? And I gave you some examples of why it's going to be difficult if you do not speak the language. And some cities you can probably get away with not having to learn the language if possible. So this part of the segment, I'm going to show you, to tell you some of the ways that I've been able to pick up some Mandarin, learn some Mandarin, ask questions in Mandarin, et cetera, et cetera. So for starters, I work in a primarily Chinese, obviously we're in China, so it's going to be primarily Chinese. So it's not an international school as much as they want to dub it that, it's not. And so a lot of my staff, a lot of my colleagues, speak Chinese. And so you learn a lot of classroom commands via my co-teacher. My co-teacher talks to the kids in Chinese. I've managed to pick up some commands by watching how the kids respond to those certain things. And I've been able to just recite them myself to make sure I am pronunciating the words correctly. Because like I said before, Chinese is a very tonal language and there are four tones. And so you could be wanting to say something in first tone, but you end up saying it in fourth tone. So I practice my pronunciation with my co-teacher. That is one way I've managed to pick up some Chinese. As well as I have a friend, shout out to Maggie. Hi, Maggie. I tutor her and her friends on Mondays, and they have in turn helped me with my pronunciation as well, making sure that I say the words correctly and I understand what the words mean. Because it's one thing if I can say, you know, seashell, seashell, but if I don't know what seashell means, then it's like, whatever. Seashell means wash your hands, by the way. So it doesn't matter if I know how to say it, but if I don't know what it means and how I can relate it back to me, then it's like, okay, what does that mean? Like, seashell, seashell, you're running around saying that, but what does it mean, sis? Yeah, so that was another way, as well as YouTube. I know with YouTube, sometimes I don't get the best accurate connection because of the internet and the VPN situation. But if I'm able to, Chinese Buddy has been like the best thing ever, because Chinese Buddies takes a lot of the subjects and they make it into songs. And so if you are a learner like that, then that Chinese Buddy, the channel, will definitely be have different subjects and they sing songs about it. And if you remember things about song, you know, if you remember songs really well, you're going to pick up the language that way very quickly. So that's another way, as well as obviously your favorites, Duolingo. I'm currently on Duolingo right now. And Duolingo helps if you actually know some vocabulary, but it also can teach you vocabulary on the way. But these are some of the resources that I have managed to use to help me with my progress in learning Chinese. When I move to the new city that I'm going to be moving to, I am going to invest in a private tutor, maybe once or twice a week, for an hour, and help get my Mandarin on point. Because like I said, I have managed to be able to pick up a lot of Mandarin that, you know, daily tasks have not, you know, have become very easy for me. So I'm able to take a taxi with confidence. I'm able to order food with confidence. I can't speak to Kwaiti just yet, but the minute I can speak to Kwaiti, I mean, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for real. No, for sure. So I've managed, and, you know, I've been here less than a year and I've picked up a lot. And, you know, I'm going to keep doing it my way. Like I said, until we get moved to the new city, then I will be able to hire a private tutor and attend what they call here. They have a language corner where they have native Chinese speakers come and converse with people that want to learn Chinese. That's also the best way to learn a language, is to immerse yourself with other people that speak the language. And what better way to immerse yourself than to move to China, right? Mm-hmm. So also for yourself, set some goals. Like, where do you want to be next year in terms of your language skills? Where do you want to be? I was just comfortable being like, I just want to be able to count. I want to be able to say, you know, hi, how are you? Thank you. Where is? I want to be able to say, you are, I am. I'm from America. 我是美国的, like, 美国 is 美国的. And I want to be able to say, like, certain things like that. And so, and even if I express myself in little bitty sentences, that's okay too, you know, and to be able to also not only speak, but to also understand, you know, that's going to be major key. And obviously writing is like, that's another elephant. That's a whole nother beast that I'm not too concerned of with just yet, but I have been practicing my writing I bought a tracing book. And they have the characters written out and you trace, and they show you how to trace the characters. So, cause there's, you know, precise strokes and things of that nature. It will encourage you, if you live in China or you're considering moving to China or you're considering moving abroad, that English is not the first official language, learn the language. I'm telling you, your daily task becomes so much easier. Your life just becomes easier. And also, I mean, hell, you can add it to your resume. If you live in the, you know, the Middle East or Korea or Japan or, you know, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, and you can speak any of those languages, you better put that on your resume. You better look like something, I'm telling you, because there's not a lot of people that are not of the native of that country that could speak that language. So you might as well be one of them people that, phew, check mark. Why not? Hell, that's going to look fancy on my resume. Oh, she speak this, the ass. She speak Mandarin. And let me tell you, Mandarin is about to be the language of commerce real soon. So wake up and smell the coffee. Hello. Anyways, that wraps up today's episode. Any questions, please follow me on my social media, chic_CocoBell. That's all across the board, Instagram and Twitter. And I hope to catch you in the next episode. Until then, keep sipping some tea.